The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history. And you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Bunch of losers begging for autographs at $15 a pop.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Explain as you would a child.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Bravo. This is a moment I will treasure. Explain to him who you all really are.
With your host, inside.
At every turn, you demonstrate the necessity for your extermination.
The Omega.
Maybe I should get some pants on.
I'm just jazzed about being on the show.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Perhaps I'm not as stupid as I am ugly.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Stop, I actually thought you were smart for a second.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah, it's just point and click.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hello out there, this is the very boring Jay Lethal.
WTR Sunday Night.
What a freak show, man. Oh, this is hilarious.
Oh, what a night this has been. Oh my goodness. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, the post-battleground episode, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am not the Omega. He's in Florida, in Metrocon land somewhere. We have no Heartbreak Mike. He was probably in the crowd booing Roman Reigns. But I am here... not alone. I have the one, the only, the certified G? Or the certified C? I don't know. Whatever it is. It's Tim Stein. And nothing. Nothing. Nothing on his end. That's tremendous. We throw to him and he gets nothing. He is speechless, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, great. The microphone is not working at the moment. Good thing we tested this out right before we do it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Hi, everybody. Hope you all enjoy the pay-per-view this evening. We want your feedback in the chat room at wildtalkradio.com, or you can give us a phone call, 267-297-1397, and we will take your opinions on the show this evening, because boy, oh boy, was this a hell of a show tonight. We had surprise debuts. We had a controversial title match, maybe, in some minds.
One question, can you hear me?
Can we hear you now? Can we hear you now? Kinda, you're a little low, but we can hear you now.
I'm a little low?
There we go.
Alright, well, if I actually, like, cause I just plugged the mic in and started talking, so, you know, but now that it's in there, certified C?
You know, Canada, Canadian, certified Canadian.
Oh, okay, okay. No.
No?
You didn't want to do what I wanted to do, but I'm going to modify it anyway. Are you ready for this now that I actually have the fucking thing plugged in?
Yes.
All right. Hang on. Because I got to pull the mic away a little bit because I'm going to yell. My name is Tim Stein, original G, certified oldest guy in the room. How you doing?
That was an accent.
I don't know what...
don't know what that was.
Came out that way.
Couple haters.
How you doing?
Omega, save me.
Yeah, oldest fucker in the room, and you can't teach that.
How you doing?
How you doing?
So this was a show tonight.
Oh man, it was. Had a great time. How many times did I tell you tonight that I yelled at the TV?
At least three times.
And you know for a fact it takes a lot for me to actually yell at the TV anymore when a WWE pay-per-view was on.
Yeah, yeah. Usually when I'm yelling at the TV, it's like, guys, don't do that. You're going to kill yourselves because there was a lot of that tonight.
There was a lot of oops. There were a couple of oopsies, like real oopsies. We'll talk about that definitely, but there were a couple of holy, you know, like holy shit moments.
Yeah, we had a couple of holy shit moments on the show.
And I'm getting a kick out of the fact that they were late doing it, but they actually tried to bleep the word crap.
They did. They did. It's like, oh, you got, it's crap? Okay, we can't say crap on TV anymore? Okay.
Can't say crap. How you doing?
Yeah, so we had that tonight. This was, from top to bottom, one of the better shows on, they've done, from top to bottom, I would say. Yes, you can Skype Sir Rockin' if you have the Skype program. We'll take your phone calls in a couple minutes from now. Just let us
get
through.
We're gonna freebase. I mean, we're gonna freestyle this thing a little bit. We're not gonna do a standard show because the crew's not here. But yeah, we are gonna let you actually Skype in or, call on a real phone.
Yes, well, we'll do that in, give us about 10 minutes just to get our thoughts out there to start, and then we'll take your phone calls. Sound good, people? Cool. Like, you have any choice. I could just hit the, you know,
well, yeah,
not answer button until I want to. Anyway.
That would be, you're a mean person.
I know, I'm a mean person. All right, the pre-show, they had like 5 minutes. The Usos are in trouble. I'm just going to say this now. They need to change up whatever they're doing. Because the Roman stench is wearing on them.
And, of course, I'm not able to talk about the pre-show because I didn't catch it.
It's not, but you know the reaction the Usos have been getting. The boos they've been getting lately.
Yeah, and it's all, you know, boos by association.
It's the Roman stench. It's rubbing off on them. And yeah. Anyway, the match was chaotic at the end. It was a solid match overall. But Breezango won. Or Breezango, rather. The win. It was a fine 5 minute tag match. Which we'll see a lot more on SmackDown. Since the draft happened, and we have Raw and SmackDown now. What was that, Tim?
Live Raw. Live SmackDown. SmackDown Live.
SmackDown Live.
Let's call it SmackDown Live. Great original name. Hey, you know what? Give yourself a raise. 3%.
They should have put more effort into the logos, because the logos are not the best. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That
reminds me of the sandwich I had for dinner last night. Had a lot of cheese on it.
Alright, so to start off the show, it was Dana Brooke and Charlotte taking on Sasha Banks and her mystery partner, Bayley.
Told you.
We all knew it, but just like, I don't want to get my hopes up on this one.
Yeah, well, we all called it, and I said, yeah, you know what? She gave it away by saying she didn't want to partner up with Bayley. You know, Bayley was coming up for a one-off.
Yeah, and they made that perfectly clear in this match.
Mm-hmm.
That it was going to be, you know, a one-time thing until probably after SummerSlam.
And let's face it, tonight, Bayley got, if not the loudest, it was pretty close to the loudest pop of the night, the entire night.
The buzz for that minute when Sasha's just standing in the ring. That was great.
That was electric. He's like, okay.
Okay, come on, do it.
Yes!
And Sasha's trying not to smile.
Mm-hmm.
But that smile just came across her face when the pop happened. Cause you know, they're great friends and they've been doing this for years together. And to see her come up and be with her, it was, you know, that was special.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, you know that she's biting her tongue to keep from smiling. Because she knew the roof was getting raised as soon as that music hit. Sweet!
And she ate up the pop, and they did the hand things with the motions, as Bayley does together. It all worked perfectly, and then the heels took over. And the match itself was what it was. They kept Charlotte and Sasha apart a little bit, saving that for SummerSlam, which was a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta admit it.
You had some moments. You had, Bayley ran wild for a while. She got cut off by Charlotte. Sasha got a hot tag. She ran wild on Charlotte a little bit. The double knees, the bank statement. natural selection, but Bayley broke it up. Bank statement a second time. Dana pulls Charlotte out, but she finally hits the bank statement for the third time and picks up the win. Sasha and Bayley get the win.
You think it was the right thing for Sasha to get the win, but you know, here I am. I'm a member of the audience. You know, I wanted Bayley to get the pin.
Oh, I would have been fine with Bayley getting the win, but it's like, you know, booking wise, Sasha has to beat the champ.
Well, yeah, I know that. And still, here's what I would have done. You know, you're talking about keeping those two apart until SummerSlam. Start building the momentum as of, you know, tomorrow night, mm-hmm. which is what you do. That's the booking. But here it is. Tease that she's going to get the pin. Tease it that she's going to get it over Charlotte. Tease it that she's going to get it over what's her name? Okay. Dana. Do another quick tag for whatever reason she gets a poke in the eye or whatever, and then have Bayley go to pin Charlotte. Charlotte gets out of it, tags, and then you see, I really don't think Dana Brooke is really ready to be on the main roster and that, so I keep tripping up on her name. But have Dana come in and have Bayley get the tag over Dana at the same time when Charlotte, you know, goes to try to break it up, then you bring her in. You bring the boss in just to beat her down and keep her from breaking up the pin.
Yeah, I can see that working, but the way they've been doing it on TV, it's sort of like she needed to get the beat champ. I see how you book it, but I see how they're booking it, and the way Charlotte's been portraying it, Charlotte had to get beat in this one.
Yeah, I can't say anything bad about it. It's just, you know, natural. Okay, you know my booking.
Yes, I know you're booking.
Which I don't think is a bad thing at all. So
anyway, so Bayley and Sasha pick up the win, and again, JBL had to make sure we knew this. It's a one-time favor. One-time favor. It's like, you didn't have to, the biggest negative is, you didn't have to say it during the match.
JBL is quickly becoming master of the obvious in addition to outdated references. He's worse than I am.
Yeah, he is. And that's saying something.
Difference. I do an outdated reference. I do it on purpose. I'm beginning to believe that JBL, it's just JBL.
It might just be just JBL.
That's
what I'm saying there. It's like, he's a mid-40s guy now. Yeah, he might be right. Might just be JBL at this point.
How bad is it every time I see him on camera for any extended period of time, I feel like yelling at him, quit slouching! I'm serious, man. Looks terrible. Over like that. And then, you know, like, quit slouching! You know, you look at Michael Cole and how short he is sitting down. Maybe he's just making sure he's in frame.
I think that might be part of the thing, but, you know, they don't have to worry about that right now, because JBL's moving to SmackDown, Cole's staying on Raw.
Cole.
Your SmackDown announced team is Mauro Ranallo, JBL, and David Otunga.
At least we got Mauro Ranallo live.
That could be really, really good, which means starting in September, we're going to get a 3-hour pay-per-view called by Mauro.
Now, here's the thing. Here it is. I'm name-dropping. Get ready to pick him up. I know Mauro Ranallo. I've known Mauro Ranallo since the early 1990s when he was in Calgary calling play-by-play for Stampede Wrestling. I have pointed this out. Mm-hmm. Him calling live, totally different than what you see on SmackDown when it was pre-taped.
Right.
It sounds weird, but it's true. And you're going to get a huge helping of what he's allowed to do when you let him go and give him a hot mic when he's, you know, live.
And you get a sample of that when he's been allowed to do the pre-show. So we're going to get with the Backlash in September with the first SmackDown only pay-per-view. So that'll be his first chance to do a 3-hour live event on the WWE Network.
Yeah, but of course he'll be doing live events every Tuesday night. So, you know, there's that too.
There is that too as well.
And there are things that they cut out of SmackDown that, you know, don't make air, you know, for time constraints or whatever. It's just little things that he throws in there, in between action and stuff like that, that just add to it. That just give you an even clearer picture, if you understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do, and you get a clear example with that on the Cruiserweight Classic as well, because it's him and Brian and Mauro can just be himself. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to it now as we're talking, because that's what's on the network, is the Cruiserweight Classic. So it's like, I'm hearing what you're saying as he's doing it on the thing. Even though that's recorded, it's still Mauro. This is Hunter producing him, not Vince.
Yeah, it's Ronaldo it's going to be Ronaldo at his best, is the best way to put it. You get glimpses, tantalizing tidbits, if you will, with the CWC.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
And on Monday Night Raw, it is Michael Cole, Byron Saxton, and Corey Graves.
Why do I get the feeling that, Raw, being the A show, just got the B team?
Really? I think Corey Graves is gonna be good.
Well, yeah, okay, Corey Graves, great, but again, you know, it's Michael Cole and what's his nuts. Not a fan.
So you don't watch NXT, but Saxton and Graves have a good banter back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that will add a good element to the show, and hopefully Cole is motivated to work with someone new. Since he's been with JBL for how many years? 4 years now?
At least.
Since when did Lawler have his heart thing? 2012?
That was, yeah, as a matter of fact, it was the end of 2012. I remember that because I had just moved into that house.
It was September 2012. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's when, since JBL's been there, so now they're finally broken up. So maybe that will motivate Cole to you know, be different a little bit.
And not have so many outdated references to put up with.
Yes, Corey Graves will not be using the outdated references JBL has.
Okay, sure, I am an older guy, but, you know.
Let's get into this century.
Yeah, you know, my outdated references are on purpose, and I only do that because, you know, I do that for the intentional groan.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times I will pop off something current on, you know, and it's, oh, okay, so he's not quite that, you know. Mm-hmm.
So the question I asked the people listening live across the airways at All Talk Radio Network, what is your favorite match of the night? What was your favorite moment of the night? Call us 267-297-1397, or you can Skype Sirach and give us your overall opinions of this show. We'll start taking your phone calls now.
And do it, damn it, because it's only me and Rock tonight. There's plenty of room for you guys.
Yeah, so we'll let you expand upon what you thought were the highlights of the show. As we move on to the Wyatt family and the New Day, I'm really digging how Woods is selling this whole thing with Bray Wyatt.
He's doing a damn good job. He really is. And at first I was thinking that maybe it might just be, you know, like a swerve on Woods' part. But this entire head-to-head match with the two of these really dispelled that really quickly. So I expected him to, like, you know, snap out of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and we got part of that during the show, but we'll get more into that here in a second. We have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on WTR Sunday night.
Hey, guys, it's Starscream Josh here.
Josh, how you doing? What's up?
Doing fine there, Timmy.
Oh, don't say that.
He doesn't like being called Timmy.
Aw, damn it.
Let's just avoid that name, okay?
And especially when you spell it T-I-M-M-Y. We're not allowed to do that either.
Here's the would you like being called fucking retard?
I've been called that a few times in my life.
That wasn't the question. Do you like being called a fucking retard?
Not really.
And don't call me Timmy.
Okay.
There you go. So, thoughts and opinions. Josh, what did you think so far?
I actually thought it was a pretty decent pay-per-view. I thought Money in Bank was better, but overall, I give it, like, a B-.
Okay. I guess I could live with that.
What was the highlight of the night for you?
Probably Sammy Owens. There's so many times I went, oh, Jesus Christ.
That was something you were alluding to at the beginning of the webcast.
I figured. But actually, other than that, maybe Cena, Enzo Amore, and the club, that was also pretty good. And then following that, the Shield triple threat was also pretty damn decent as well.
You know, the Shield, jeez, when they first showed up on Monday Night Raw, and they were cutting their promos and having their first bunch of matches and being the enforcers for some people and bodyguards for other people. You know, they stated, we're going to, and this was in the promo for tonight too, before the match started, they were going to take over WWE. They were going to do this, push everybody else aside, and sure enough, it came to fruition tonight.
Yeah, they did. Barring for one exception that pretty much got booed out of the building.
You know, I have to admit it. Yeah, I don't think Roman Reigns should be in the title picture at this point in time. Only because of the reactions he's getting. They're not pushing him as the good guy, the bad guy, but the guy. Situation, well, you know, there's a bit of a problem here. And it's WWE's own fault. It's them doing this. When they entered Daniel Bryan into the Royal Rumble and booked him to get tossed over the rope 5 minutes after he entered.
And all downhill from there.
That is, you can pinpoint that as the crowd turning on Rock. That's mm-hmm. And Rock and I have gone over this ad infinitum, and we've been looking at it, and we've been talking about it, and does Roman deserve all this vitriol and hatred from you guys? The answer is no.
He's not that bad.
No. But he's getting all of this heat, not in a good way, because of what they did at Royal Rumble.
I don't think they even realize that yet. So, I hope they will.
Well, no, it doesn't. I'll tell you right now, it's a case of it doesn't matter if they realize it or not. They will never do anything to rectify it. It's too late now, even if they wanted to. But I'm just guaranteeing you that they wouldn't want to fix it.
A small part of my brain wanted me to see how big of crow-planted balls of WWE to put the title on Roman tonight.
I was speculating because Roman and Seth are going to Raw that and Dean won on the show last week. Here's the inside scoop, and it's just a case of my observing what's going on. Usually, when it's a major title when any of the titles are at stake. And they have the last hookup on the last show before the pay-per-view. The person who wins on that show usually loses at the pay-per-view. Now, I don't picked up on that previously, or if it's just jumping out and you're saying, duh, oh shit, yeah. After the fact, it's so obvious that you missed it. That'll happen for some people. That's fine. But Dean won.
I thought Dean might have won, but there was that small part of my brain. It's like, no, normally WWE, when they do that, they would put it on someone else other than Dean in that situation.
The one thing that hangs and looms over them is Thursday, and that's the investors conference call. So I don't know if they were going to want to have Roman Reigns, who just got suspended, being the champion when we talk to the investors on Thursday.
Yeah, speaking about suspensions, I can't wait until we talk about the highlight reel.
Well, we'll get to that.
Was a good zing.
he got it. We'll get to that later in the program. Is there any other comments about the show that stuck out to you, Josh?
Bailey's pop when she came out was glorious, and I thought it was gonna be first. Split second, I thought it was going to be someone else. Like, no, it's way too obvious.
Well, you know, we did call it last Sunday night, and I know that you heard that because you listen almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's a case of we're allowed to gloat or if it was just too obvious. But sometimes too obvious is the way that they're going to go because it's too obvious and you don't expect it because it's, you know, too obvious.
It's similar to what Dean did in Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that they're sort of booking things like that. If it's so obvious, they just have to do it at this point instead of just swerving for a case of a swerve.
Well, for the most part, I mean, like, yeah, sure, you want shocking moments and stuff like that, but don't do something stupid just for the shock. I mean, having Brock Lesnar beat Undertaker at WrestleMania made sense because it went someplace. Rock? Name something that happened at WrestleMania that they only did for shock value and didn't make any sense at all. Just one.
I'm trying to think.
There are several that you could choose from, right? Moments you wouldn't expect. Okay, here's one example. Zack Ryder, this was, when he won the IC, or what was it, the IC title?
Yeah, it was IC.
It was the IC title. When did he win that?
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
There you go. Now, what happened to the, to Zack Ryder in the title?
Squashed.
Lost it the next night. The only reason they put the belt on Zack was to get that pop at WrestleMania.
That was pure bullshit. I agree with Omega so hard.
At all whatsoever, did it?
Nope.
And it's like, if you're gonna fucking do that, don't fucking do it at all.
It even makes no sense that Zack wasn't going for the IC title and Darren Young should have gone for the IC US title because of his new gimmick.
You know, so there you be, right? You wanted to think of something that was just there for the shock value and made no sense at all. It was Zack Ryder winning the title.
I feel so bad for him.
And it's, like I said, it's just stupid because they're never going to do anything with him. They're going to make him look good in some matches, like what happened tonight. Rusev made him look great, and I was impressed.
But hype, bros.
That jacket, though, was just a big-ass no-no.
I kind of liked it for how stupid it was.
I didn't like it.
It was awful.
Yeah, Rock didn't like it either. I was too thrilled about the shades either. But I could have put up the shades if the jacket wasn't there.
Could you tell he was going for the U.S. title? But you couldn't tell that he was going for the U.S. title. Hey, he was going for the U.S. title.
There you be. Yeah. Any other thoughts on anything else, Josh, before we let you go?
I can't think of anything at the moment.
All right. Well, there you go. Hey, man, thanks for calling. I really appreciate you having done so.
You're very welcome.
All right, everybody, Star Scream Josh in the chat room. Yay, give him a hand.
How was that?
Oh, you heard that too?
Yeah, I heard that.
That was my phone. My phone is actually, Skype is up and running on my phone.
Uh-huh.
And he disconnected.
When I kicked them from the group, okay.
When you kicked them from the group, it makes the sound on the phone, which translates. I don't know if you heard it through my microphone or if it came through over Skype itself.
I don't know. I just heard the noise. Yeah, pretty much. That's what it was, yeah.
A little more electronical or something. But apparently I should actually practice on doing my Enzo. Not the voice so much as like the attitude and the promo cutting.
Okay.
I apparently made somebody laugh so hard that she spit her soda onto the computer screen.
If your computer screen broke, admin@wrestletalkradio.com.
No, well, you could do that. That's not an active email account, so yeah, email that one.
Admin.
I'm not replacing your computer screen if you can't control your soda.
Anyway, back to Wyatt Family and New Day. This was fun. Woods, as we were mentioning, finally is showing that you should be fearful of Bray Wyatt, which has been something we've been clamoring for a long time. During this match was one of those things where, oh my god, don't kill yourself, Big E, with that dive through the ropes.
He's gotta stop doing that. He's too big for
that. And he does it every time.
Yeah, I can just see him missing at some point in time and actually, like, bouncing off the rope.
Same here. Same
Which
here.
Is not a funny thing to do as a wrestler who especially weighs that much, because if you crash into those ropes, are like, sure, you see a lot of give when you lean back on them or run into them, but they're super tight, and it could bugger up your shoulder.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it could. This was a good match. Wyatt Family picked up the win. Does this now make them the number one contenders, even though they're on two different brands?
Yeah, here's the thing. I didn't really expect the Wyatt Family to win, first off, because it's a pay-per-view. Secondly, they were going against the New Day. And thirdly, I know we never said that it was, but for some reason I had it stuck in the back of my head that it was for the titles.
Well, okay then.
I thought it was.
Well, it wasn't.
Duh. I know that now. I'm also in the future.
Right, does this make them the number one contenders, even though that Braun's on Raw, Eric's on SmackDown with Bray?
Well, you know, here's my question. They've done the brand split again, which I accurately predicted after everybody told me it wasn't going to happen. Haha, I told you. Last time I did this, they brought all of these extra titles. They had one title on SmackDown, one title on Raw for everything except the women's division. Really, they did. They had two tag belts. They had the WCW tag belts for SmackDown, and then the WWE.
No, or
something like that.
They created new tag team titles about 8 months in.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Are they going to do the same thing now? Because if not, if they're keeping the one set of titles, which is what I recommend,
yeah, they better,
and have everybody work towards it. And you can have, like, that way you can throw on tournaments on SmackDown for the women's title. And you do the number one contendership matches over there for the big pay-per-view where they actually finally collide. And it's like the West Conference and the East Conference. Neither team meets the American League or the National League. You know, old school, of course, now I'm talking. Neither league meets until a championship.
And it makes it more important now you can, especially the number one contender for a single title, it's more important to be it on that brand.
How many times have we bitched and complained that the titles don't mean shit anymore because of what they have done with them? They flooded the programming with extra titles that they didn't need.
They do that. They don't build up contenders, and they expect us to care about the matches, like we're going to talk about here in a minute.
And they would just flip the title on a whim, and half the time they'd only do that just for the shock value, which is what I brought up with Josh on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what you're saying, and it's what I started to say. It means something if you, okay, you know what, Raw, you guys got to fight, and whoever wins moves on to face the winner of these two matches, and what's going to happen, you're going to have a number one contender position at the, you know, SummerSlam, the Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, WrestleMania. Did I just name the big four pay-per-views?
You did.
Yeah, I did, because all the big four are going to be the combined pay-per-views. You're still going to get your SmackDown pay-per-view and your Raw pay-per-view, two per month, right? And then you'll have the, except for when the big four goes on. When the big four pay-per-view comes around, you're not going to have a separate Raw, SmackDown, and then that one as a third pay-per-view.
No, you're not.
No, you're going to have that one pay-per-view, and that's going to be the pay-per-view because it's one of the original four. And that's fine and dandy. So you could be in a number one contenders match the Monday after SummerSlam on Raw, and you get your contendership matches going. And then that is going to be for, I do believe, the next big one will be Survivor Series after SummerSlam?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Survivor Series, and that's in November. So we go from August, September, October, into November before you get a chance at that title. And you've got the chance, if you play it right, to make all of us as fans champ at the bit. And by the way, that's the way you say it, champ at the bit, not chomp at the bit. That's just correct. You get to get the fans champing at the bit for that match to finally happen. Meanwhile, on SmackDown, you could have the WWE title change hands three times, and it doesn't matter because the main thing, your opportunity to change the title over to the other brand happens at the big pay-per-view.
Not totally in favor of that idea, but I get it. I understand the booking of it. I don't think you could do it that long unless you make the number one contendership like its own championship, if you know what I mean.
Well, it would almost be like the American League title or the National League title, right? Whereas you don't get a belt or anything like that, but you are the guy. And here's something else that you can do. The title is the heavy WWE title is on SmackDown. On Raw, you could put up or have it put up as the prize for winning that match at that Raw pay-per-view. So you got this guy who's the number one contender. All of a sudden, he has to defend his contendership.
Yeah, that's sort of where I was headed with that, yeah.
And, like I was saying, sure, like that big match right there, you're the WWE number one contender. You're Seth Rollins. You're ready to go in November to face whoever the champion is currently on SmackDown to try to bring the belt to Raw. That's fine and dandy. Meanwhile, Dean Ambrose winds up losing the belt to name another SmackDown main eventer, John Cena, just for shits and giggles. Well, John's. I know. Just, you know, I'm not predicting a goddamn thing, so quit emailing me and texting me about that. but for shits and giggles, John Cena wins the title in October. So it's John Cena versus Seth Rollins in November instead of Dean Ambrose.
You could have used AJ Styles.
I could have. Yeah, should have.
Could have used Bray Wyatt. You could have used AJ Styles. You know, someone that actually people want to see.
AJ versus Seth for the WWE Championship. I'm tuning in. That's all there is to it. I'm watching that match.
Everyone would be watching that match.
Shit, yeah. So, yeah, anyway. You know, doing that, don't add more titles, guys. Please, don't.
And tell us what you're doing with the titles, too, so everyone knows. Even the talent, they want to know what they're doing. You're doing, yeah, with the titles.
Because we have no clue at this point in time. If you're going to add a title, add the Cruiserweight title once this tournament's over and done with.
Which they announced on Raw, they are bringing the Cruiserweight division to Raw at some point.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I guess. When you hear the announcement, it's like, oh, look, it's WCW Monday Nitro again. The Cruiserweights.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're going to do the Cruiserweights, do it right. I mean, WCW, let's face it, they did the Cruiserweights properly when WWE and they were WWF tried to counter with their own idea of Cruiserweights. They effed it up royally. They really did.
Yeah, they sort of did on that one.
they kind of shite the deadlock.
So, you mentioned that the Zack Ryder outfit was awful.
Yeah.
It was inspired by the Warrior, Sting, and Randy Savage, his heroes growing up.
All at once. Terrible. Pick one and stick with it, okay?
He says no.
He
says no. He's going to do them all together, because why the hell not? He was just missing the big Macho Man hat.
And you know what? Maybe next time we see him, that'll be what happens.
Please no. Please no. If they steal our ideas. Just don't steal that one. That was an awful idea. That was a flat-out awful idea.
Well, you know, they love awful ideas.
They do love awful ideas. You had a different take on this match than I did, because you looked at it from the booking perspective of how they were doing this match with Zack Ryder and Rusev.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the booking. I mean, Rusev, and I mentioned this, Rusev was, he was a real champ making Zack Ryder look good. I mean, I didn't expect Rusev to sell as well or as much or as hard as he did for Ryder, but he made Ryder look good. I didn't for one second think that Ryder was going to beat Rusev, but I'm just watching it and observing it both ways, objectively and as a fan, not paying attention to the crowd reaction. And this is what you were going to bring up, and I'll let you dive into that as soon as I'm done with my point. But objectively speaking, as somebody who has booked matches, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this is exactly what I want you to do. This is exactly what we want to make him look like gold before he loses. As a fan, I'm like, geez, you know, I'm at the point where I could almost believe that Ryder's going to win. So I had it from those two perspectives. And this is, you know, looking at it both ways. And, of course, the third factor in the back of my mind that I was, like, ignoring, but not ignoring, if you understand what I'm talking about, was what you brought up when we were chatting on Skype.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I saw it that way, too, but I also heard the crowd, and the crowd just, Ryder was doing everything he could to do exactly what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. But the crowd just doesn't buy Zack Ryder in that spot.
It's WWE's own damn fault for burying him so much. And I tried to keep that out of my head when I was watching this. And the problem is, the general fan doesn't try to keep that out of their head. Now, I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not giving them shit for it or anything like that. But it would be nice if they could just try to forget the fact that he's been buried and jobbed out and treated like, you know, garbage and a joke and a laughing stock, because tonight, in my eyes, he was a legit contender.
See, the problem is, I don't see him, I didn't see him as a legit contender, and this is based on booking. The build-up, he was not made to look like a true contender.
Yeah, no, you're talking about, like, the lead into this match from the past couple weeks, and yeah, I understand that, but that's something else I also did not take into account. I'm talking purely from the actual standalone match itself. And this is going back to, you know, my experience with working indie wrestling. When you work one show a month indie wrestling, you don't get a chance to build everything up like that. You have to build it up and deliver it all in one shot that night at that show from beginning of the match till the end of the match. And this is what I'm excuse me, this is what I'm talking about, what they did. And I think they did a damn good job of it. This is what I'm talking now, as far as the hype and the buildup and everything. Yeah, of course they dropped the ball. I'm not going to argue with you, but ignore all of that and just look at the match itself as a self-contained indie show type idea where they were selling you the entire thing in that one little window that they had, which was the match from the ring entrance till the final bell.
Yeah, from the story for the match, they told it right.
Yeah.
But for the audience they're doing it in front of, the crowd needs to get behind them going in. There was no clamoring for this. And that hurt the story they were trying to tell in the ring, even though they were telling it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
At least from my perspective.
Again, and I'm not shooting you on that. I'm just, yeah, I'm not defending my position and attacking yours or anything like that. I'm just letting you know how I viewed it as opposed to, you know, how you're viewing it, which is all fine and dandy.
By the way, the new version of the accolade where he just wrenches you all the way back.
That looks so god.
Looks so painful, but it's so awesome. Keep going with that.
It works. It works really well.
As Rusev retains the United States Championship. No need to really break down the match on that one. It was more, we sort of did that on the way we did it. After the match, Rusev continued to beat down on Zack Ryder until...
Oh, Mojo!
Yes, stay hype everybody. Mojo Rawley makes his WWE main roster debut to save Zack Ryder against Rusev, who's on Raw and they're on SmackDown.
Were you expecting Mojo?
No.
Oh, you weren't expecting Mojo?
Well, once the beatdown happened, yes.
Oh, okay.
But I knew he would make the save. I was like, you could have just had Rusev beat him down and that was it. You didn't need to make Mojo a thing. But I think Vince saw Mojo and went, ooh, big guy. Let's push him. Ooh, big guy. Big guy.
Yeah, and like Le Mans said, Mojo comes out and no one cared.
No one cared.
Didn't I send to you in capital letters Mojo with like three or four question marks?
Yeah. He's good friends with Rob Gronkowski, so you know, football player. We can tie in. No.
Yeah, like Mojo? Come on. I expected a save, but I expected somebody that would at least get some reaction.
No, once they're now, they can do the hype bros on SmackDown. You kind of figured that was going to happen.
So.
The hype bros. At least they have a name.
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
What can you do?
What can you do? You can turn the table, because this is really the last match before we go to break. And we're going to spend a lot of time on this one. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Oh, holy god damn, Sami Zayn, you're going to kill yourself one of these days.
So he was doing a flip moonsault, a moonsault bouncing off the ropes.
Ouch. He didn't get height off the rope. I don't know. Did he not bounce at the right time? Was it not tight? I don't know what happened, but he didn't get enough momentum up before he went over.
Because the ropes just went all the way down, and he didn't bounce, and he just splat.
Right on his shoulder. And I kind of missed it, and I saw him selling a buggered up right arm, and then I was watching a little bit, and I said, you know, I think that right arm injury is kind of legit.
Yep.
Because you can tell when somebody is having a problem and they're trying to fight through it. It's a little more obvious than trying to sell a fake injury. Things happen that's a little more natural and doesn't look, you know, prearranged. This didn't look prearranged. And then I saw the replay. Sure enough, boom. And I'm surprised he didn't break his clavicle.
I think he's thankful he didn't break it either, because as the adrenaline kicked in a little bit more, he was able to do a little bit more with the arm. Yep. But that thing is going to hurt in about an hour or two from now.
Oh, no, it probably hurts now.
I'm saying from that point, 2 hours now would be, yeah. Now it does.
It's going to leave a mark.
That one's going to leave a mark for sure. To show the pros they are, they went and sold the arm. We had the crossface by Owens in this match. They worked over the arm. Before that, though, a couple of my favorite spots of this one. You had Kevin Owens standing on his hand, just taunting the crowd. And then in the headlock, you know, he mocks the Sami chant. And then the ref asks Sami, do you want to give it up? And Kevin's yelling, yes, he does.
Yeah. Good old school heel coming back again. Thanks Kevin Owens for that.
Yeah. So this was great. We had a dangerous spot, kind of, but not really. The Brainbuster by Sami Zayn on the apron.
It looked worse than it really was, and they'd been told do some more, you know, throw in a couple of apron moves every match. And good on you, Kevin Owens. Again, you know, knowing how to sell, watch guys like this.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, yeah, they're rookies for WWE, but guys, they've been around 10 years, 15 years.
They've been doing this together for 10 years.
You know, like they've been friends forever, and they've been working with each other. They know what they're doing with each other.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing, oh, we're not friends anymore, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, again, you know, kayfabe. Of course they're still.
So we had super kicks. We had pop-up powerbomb attempts. We had the half Nelson suplexes by Sami Zayn. He got a bunch of two counts. We have the pop-up powerbomb by Kevin Owens. Zayn kind of got his foot on the metal rope, kind of.
Well, he got it underneath.
He got it underneath because he missed the actual rope.
I don't know if he was actually going for the rope or if he was trying to get it underneath. In a situation like that, when you gotta remember that what you just got delivered to you is supposed to knock you batty and that's the end for most matches most of the time,
mm-hmm.
Show enough wherewithal when you're near the ropes that you can, okay, I can't lift my leg because I'm so buggered up from the pop-up, but I can just move my leg over to get it under the rope. And that's sort of the sense I got.
Yeah, but it, you know, you just look at it, it's like, did he get, he got there, alright, cool, we're good. He did not blow the finish, alright, we're good. He didn't make the ref look like an idiot, basically.
I've seen it happen before, it's not a pretty sight.
No, it's not.
I don't at it.
And then we got some really good storytelling. Owens was like, don't make me do this, don't make me do this. And Sammy's like, come on.
Oh, I love that. You know, waving them on. Don't make you do this. Hand wave. Come on, bring it. Slap.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me do this. Bring it. Slap. Don't make me do this. Bring it. Slap. Slap back. Ha.
We had the exploder suplex in the corner, the half Nelson suplex, Haluva kick, mm-hmm. And then people are going, come on, pin him, Sammy. And then he's looking at his fallen former best friend, and he picks him up, and he stands him up in the corner. He just stares at him.
And at this point in time, I have to give the announce team kudos for selling this. Because they're like, is this compassion on Sami Zayn's part? No, he's making sure he's got his ass before he delivers the coup de grace.
So he,
not exact words, I paraphrased, but you get the idea.
Paraphrase on that one. He then steps back. It's the second Haluva kick. Uno, dos, tres. Your winner.
Oh, I can't give music.
Sami Zayn.
I can do the claps. What?
You're not gonna try to sing the music?
Oh, fuck, you try it.
Fuck no.
Chicken.
This was, I would say, match of the night.
Oh, you know, there were a lot. There were actually on a night like we had tonight. There were a lot of candidates, and tonight was just an absolute fun pay-per-view. The only bitch I really have is Natty and Becky, but we'll get into that. And it's legitimate beef, and you're going to agree with me, Rock, because
we're thinking the same thing the entire match.
The absolute entire match, and it pissed me off because they could have done so much more. But no, we had to have the highlight reel, which we'll also talk about. But
yeah, we'll talk about it. After the break.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely, like I said, several candidates. And if any of these other candidates were on any other pay-per-view, there's a chance that match would have been match of the night. But yeah, 100% agreement. This was MOTN, and definitely an act of the month contendership. So I don't know if that tells you anything. Anyway, we're going to do more of the pay-per-view on the other side of this break. The phone lines are still open, 267-297-1397. You can Skype Sir Rockin' on Skype. Come on, tell us what you thought. We want to hear your opinion. Why not everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, Battleground Post Show. We'll be back right after this.
it has returned.
I am looking for Sarah Khan. Oh god, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my god, there's like an army of drones.
Ah.
Oh dear god.
That's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff,
no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs bands. End of the world Gangnam style. Weird. Why? Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here? That's a horse you have, that's a horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sumi in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future. Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still. Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him. Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo, please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This August, relive the best matches in SummerSlam history, in video game form.
To the greatest of all time, will suffer their first SummerSlam loss in a one-on-one match
Subscribe now at youtube.com/trackradioshow to witness 21 days of SummerSlam history in video game form.
John Cena has held the WWE title 11 times. Daniel Bryan has never held the gold. And the question is, for Daniel Bryan, tonight, will he become the next John Cena? Will he become the next Rock? Or will he become the first Daniel Bryan?
Don't miss it this August only at youtube.com/trackradioshow.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Call me if you don't come at all. You leave your peace at home, that's your call. It never paid to be merciful. Call me if you don't come at all.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are reviewing WWE's Battleground pay-per-view. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Speaking of tuning in, you can tune in to any WTR program with the TuneIn app free on your mobile device. Just go to the Play Store or whatever, the iPhone Store, wherever you download apps, and download TuneIn 100% absolutely free. Search Wild Talk Radio Network and choose the one that has the Wild Talk Radio logo, because there's a second one on there that was set up and wasn't set up properly, so we did it right second time around. And you can listen to us anywhere and everywhere you go. You know, you nowadays you can plug in your mobile device into your car radio, listen to us in stereo on your car while you're driving around going for burgers or whatever, right, Rock?
Exactly, and I'm distracted at the moment.
Are you? Why?
Because the pay-per-view just restarted, and Bayley is coming into the ring.
Uh-oh. So you're watching Bayley's entrance?
I'm watching, rewatching the pop, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, once again, everybody, you can actually get involved in the discussion tonight. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got a regular home phone or a cell phone and you've got something like unlimited long distance, which I have with my Wind Mobile here in Canada, then call 267-297-1397. You don't have long distance and you don't want to charge or incur long distance charges, then get on Skype and add Sir Rockin'. Okay, I'm going to explain this because it needs to be clarified for some people. Sir Rockin' is the Skype name.
And if you're clarifying it for someone, they just added me, so they can call into the show as well.
Any old time they want.
If that wasn't hint enough.
So, Kane Kittens, yeah, you want to call in and talk about the pay-per-view? You're more than welcome to. Just expect to get ragged on for any dumb thing you say, which is a lot of what
you
say.
Most of the time, yeah.
So, yeah, even you can call in, Brent. So, I don't care. That's all fun and dandy. I hope that Matt in the chat room changed his underwear, because apparently he pooped a little.
Anyway, up next on the pay-per-view, it was Natalya versus Becky Lynch, and I told you from the jump.
Yep.
I hope they get time.
And we were trying to calculate this, and like we should have enough time, because there's 90 minutes left in the pay-per-view. Four matches inclusive with this one, and then, oh shit, no, we've got the, oh damn it.
The highlight reel, yeah.
The highlight reel. And then as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh shit.
I talked about this with Lindsay on Thursday. It's like, this matchup could be really good, or it could be what we had, because of the time.
It could be a SmackDown match, or it could be really good.
And here's the thing, the SmackDown match, when they do it, will be a lot better than this, because it's live on television and they'll get more time.
Yeah, this is true. It was disappointing to me. Yeah, sure, Natty came across as monster heel, which is what they want to do. But it was like watching it, for me, it was all Natty and not nearly enough Becky. And I'm hoping and praying that Natty gets a chance or is to do for Becky what she did for Charlotte. And, you know, go back before WrestleMania, Rock. What did I say about what, well, both you and I, what did we say about Natty Charlotte?
It was great.
And what was Natty doing for Charlotte?
She made Charlotte, and she made her, here's the thing, you talk about it right before WrestleMania. Natty made Charlotte a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when they were down in NXT. So it wasn't a surprise, and you know what Natty can make people, but she needs 15 minutes to make a person. Natty yep. cannot make a person in 9 minutes and 4 seconds.
No, no. And it's like I said, it's like I was complaining that Becky didn't have enough time to get any sustained offense going.
No, because Natty spent a lot of the time in the beginning just stalling. Mm-hmm. She was being a heel, but she was stalling, and this was the first time Natty, since she's turned, she's been able to work as the heel. She's done, you know, promos and stuff, but this is her first match on television as the heel, and the audience at home not quite digging what Natty is offering as a heel.
Which is really too bad, because when you let her be the pissed off trash talker heel, she's awesome. And I know what I'm talking about. You know I know what I'm talking about. But all of the showboating shit, I mean, whoever came up with that idea for her, it wasn't Natty's idea.
It's not, I didn't believe it was Natty.
Oh, hell no.
Like, that was the problem. I didn't buy it was Natty.
And it just did not work. I mean, okay, Natty, go out there and show off after every single move and, you know, pirouette and bow to the crowd and put your hands up like you just won something every time you slam her head to the canvas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, guys, don't, no. You want Natty to be a heel? You tell Natty, Natty, you were trained in the dungeon. Go out there and be a bad guy. Mm-hmm. That's all you say. And let her do her thing. And I guarantee goddamn to you that you will buy Natty as a heel when that happens.
She has to believe it. I don't believe her yet.
So it's just, you know, like when she attacked Becky, that was great. When she first turned, mm-hmm. I believe, right?
Right.
Tonight, it was just a total, you know, you get the phrase in wrestling, no sell. Well, for me, it was no buy. I wasn't taking my wallet out, right? So.
It's like you didn't buy the match because you didn't give Becky the chance to be the underdog yep. at all. Because the time she could have spent, okay, let her take out Natty for a little bit, Natty cut her off, and then Natty do her thing, and you didn't get that. Because again, you had 9 minutes to tell a story, you spent two of it on the outside, you have 7 minutes, and you had Natty in control, and you never let Becky have the comeback that
now,
she needed to have.
That said, it wasn't a shit match. It was just shit booking that was not left up to the girls.
The story you needed, and we talked about it with the Zack Ryder match, the story they were telling. These girls needed more time to tell the story they had, especially because they're both submission wrestlers.
Yep.
And the submission wrestler needs more time than a typical wrestler who does a big move and bam, that's it. That's the way I see it, at least.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. I am just looking really quickly on Twitter, and our very own Heartbreak Mike just actually posted a video. I'm going to go mute and listen to the video, so go ahead and talk.
Okay. He's just leaving me to go listen to a video. I could have actually played the video sound on the air. But okay, cool, whatever. We'll just go from there.
Well, in that situation, then just play the video sound on the air because I've got that, I'm still loading loop now.
Alright, let me go to Twitter and we'll play the audio and then we'll comment because he decided to leave us the sound.
Guys, this is Heartbreak Mike. Just getting back from Battleground. Wow. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn told an amazing story and it finally put it to rest. So hopefully we can see them move forward. Tag team match, Bray, the Wyatt family, and all of them. That was really good. But the best spot, I think, would have to be Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn taking those suplexes over and over and over again. Good job. New Day did amazing. I was surprised about Becky and Natalya. Good job. The main event, I actually enjoyed it. It was a good... The finish was amazing. Good ending finish. And I give the pay-per-view probably a 8 out of 10.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Quick and precise. And clear.
Giving it an 8 out of 10, he didn't sound that.
It's probably worn off at this point.
Yeah, well, you never know. It might be. So at least Heartbreak Mike had fun. He was actually at the pay-per-view. He actually sent me a message on Skype. I don't know if he Skyped you yet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So cool. It's up to him if he, you know.
If he wants to come on, I mean, sure, we're,
that's
what,
on, that,
we're just way through, so.
Yeah, that's on him, so we'll see if he decides to join us live or not. So Natty picked up the win with the sharpshooter, as we were talking about. It just sort of was, it was there. I want to see what they can do live on SmackDown with 15 minutes and actually let them shine, because we know, I know Becky's good. We know Natty's good. Let them actually go.
Yeah, and like you said, it's a tale of two submission wrestlers. Name two of the greatest submission wrestlers who have ever wrestled in WWF. WWE.
Kurt Angle.
And?
The guy who shall not be named?
Bret Hart.
Okay, we'll go with Bret Hart.
Yeah,
one.
Okay. Now, who has Bret wrestled who was also one of the better submission wrestlers in the past?
His brother?
There you go. And how much time were they given at WrestleMania? 20 minutes? 25 minutes? Half hour, it felt like.
At WrestleMania 10? Yeah. At least 15. Off the top of my head. Off the top.
Yeah, like those two really got it going. Boom, 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 boom. And then Owen wins.
20-21.
20 minutes, 21 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So there, if you want Natty and Becky to have a great match, you've got to give them, you said 15, I say 20 minutes. Because once you give them that length of time, that amount of time, then both of them will have one hell of a chance to shine, I think.
Oh yeah, I'd give them 20, 25 minutes. I give them all the time, just going, I'm doubling, basically sort of doubling what they did. They did 9, so yeah, maybe 20, yeah.
Yeah, well, they did 9 and change, so that'd be 19 minutes and change, so yeah. And so basically, that being said, what we're basically saying is we only got a half a match tonight out of these two.
And here's the thing, we've been saying that a lot about the Natty matches.
Yeah.
They don't give her all the time she needs to get over.
Which is ridiculous, because she is the best worker, female worker on that roster. Hands down, and no, I'm not being a Natty fan just because she's a friend of mine and I know her as well as I do and I'm Canadian and she's a Hart family member and blah, 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 and cheap shots aside and everything else like that. The objective fact of the matter is Natty, pound for pound, is the best female wrestler they have on the main roster. I know what she's capable of doing. I know very well what she's capable of doing. Thankfully, I've never been put into a sharpshooter courtesy of Natty, but I've seen her slap it on a few guys. And yeah, I mean, give her a chance to shine. That's all I'm saying. I understand you're using her to put other female wrestlers over, and she's being used to do that because she is so goddamn good. But give her a chance.
She's the top heel on SmackDown now. Yeah. As far as the females go, she needs to be given that chance because she's going to have to work with Carmella and Becky and Alexa and Eva.
Yeah, and you want, yes, yeah, especially she'll have 10 times as hard with Eva. But look at me taking shots at Eva now. If you don't currently believe what I'm saying, go back to the Natty Charlotte matches. You'll see it. When you let Natty go and be her best, she brings out the best. I mean, you and I were raving over the Natty Charlotte matches, and what did I say? I can't wait. I demand a program between these two after WrestleMania. And it didn't dawn on me that initially, for the first week, that's what we were getting. And we got that. And I was so happy because the matches were fantastic.
But they never got the time they deserved.
You know what I mean? So... it's a shame, you know, and I'm not going to knock the girls for what we got tonight. It wasn't a horrible match.
No, the execution was great.
Yeah, the execution was fantastic. It's just they didn't get enough time, and it was nowhere near the match we should have gotten from the two of them.
We just wanted more. We just wanted more.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask when you go to 11:15?
Yeah, I just want, I just wanted to make it clear that I wasn't shitting on the girls.
Yeah.
So.
One of the highlights backstage, Dean Ambrose was being praised by Daniel Bryan, who was very, very giddy over Dean Ambrose. Oh, that was great.
Is it terrible? Is it terrible that I chuckled when the when Shane said, "You know, one thing you got they don't got is this. What, my leather jacket?
My jacket? My tank top?
No. My tank top? No. Heart." I'm like, "Dean, get with the program." I mean, that was just, it was just so perfect. Great. Yeah. Oh, hey, look at that. Diddy is in the chat room. And yeah, we were talking about titles already earlier in the show. I don't know if you heard it or not, but yeah, we're saying don't add any more titles. Yeah. We'll expand on that next weekend, I'm sure.
Probably.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be bad to have the other two, able to chime in.
Speaking of championships, the Intercontinental one was on the line, The Miz and Darren Young. The match, nothing special. And then we got to the finish of this match. Miz tries to leave, Bob stops him, Maurice slaps Bob, Maurice then tries to sell like she got hit by Bob, then Bob
loses it.
He loses his mind, he rips off his shirt, but keeps part of it on, which is weird.
And I'm grateful because how old is he now? He's
66, in 60s. Almost 70, so I'm grateful as well, but it just looked weird.
It's bad enough me walking around without my shirt on. Just imagine a late 60s.
Miz then shows Bob. Referee, I guess, counts both men out. Chicken wing by Darren, who's now doing the Bob back then. I just went crazy. Ends with no contest. Miz retains.
And I get points because I got Miz and Darren Young.
You only got points because Miz retained. They're not on the same show, right? So... Yeah. You couldn't have a finish?
I don't know why you couldn't have had a finish. I mean, again, it's a case of, well, you know what? You know, The Miz, we're trying to sell him as a champion who never finishes a match. Well, you've done too much of that with too many wrestlers over the recent years. Cut it out.
But it's Darren Young. We couldn't have a finish?
We couldn't have, you know, here's the thing. You couldn't have Darren Young win clean or lose clean in this match. No, you're right.
Like Darren could lose. It's Darren Young. No offense to Darren Young, but it's Darren Young.
But after putting all that work into Darren Young, you can't have him lose to a guy that's not on the same roster.
Then, dude, I don't know. This was a thing. No contest. Miz retains.
Yeah.
Then, I have nothing more to add to that other than it. Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing to add to it other than if you were around watching WWE. Back in the early 90s when they brought Bob back and he wound up actually winning the championship again for a little while and having that program with Bret Hart, he'd be like all Mr. Backlund and really nice guy, and then something happens and he snaps. And
yeah.
this shows up tonight and I'm like, oh, they're doing that again? Eh.
That's when I first started watching wrestling. It was in 94 and Mr. Yeah. Bob Backlund showed up.
93, 94.
Yeah, right around that time.
Yeah that entire year. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was right around when they were doing Bob Backlund for president. And I thought the only thing more insane and dumber would be if Donald Trump ever run.
Well,
oh, no!
Oh, no. God, anyway, moving on. Enzo Amore, Big Cass, and John Cena take on AJ Styles, the Soccer Mom.
Oh, how you doing?
And the club. Just
fun.
Fun. Enzo is a whole ball of fun.
How you doing?
He gives us some advice to AJ in the club. Don't pee in the wind. Don't wear Crocs. Don't make
snow.
Don't yell snow.
How you doing?
And don't make eye contact while eating a banana.
That just made me laugh my head off.
And his last piece of advice, do not step in the ring with them unless you have a great dental plan, because they will knock their teeth out.
How you doing?
He's a whole ball of fun. And then then Cass is like, he just has to stand there a second. It's like, I have to tell my jokes after that. Like, he stood there, it's like, how am I supposed to follow that? And he got the Soccer Mom line, and it was great. Which we got to chant during the match. But it's like, I have to follow that.
We didn't really get a much of a chance. I mean, I want to hear it. You know, I want to really hear it. So if you ever go to a WWE event and you watch AJ Styles, get the chant going so it's like super loud. You know, I want it as loud as Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks.
Yes, Diddy, we're taking phone calls for a little bit while longer. So if you have your highlights of the show, please call in 267-297-1397 or you can Skype Sir Rockin. He's at MetroCon.
Yeah, Omega's at MetroCon, and Heartbreak Mike was at the pay-per-view. He's at home drunk as a skunk right now.
So we're sitting here covering the show as we are. The match itself was a lot of fun.
Oh, hell yeah. And, of course, it was exactly what I was expecting. They would, as soon as they got Enzo in the ring, they cornered him, and they isolated him, and they took turns beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, they worked over Enzo for a while, which was great. And then Enzo became a weapon in the match.
Like he always does in every match he's in.
Yeah. So he becomes a weapon, cause he did a crossbody. Cena, it was AJ who ducked and Cena caught him. And, or I think it was AJ. No, it was, Gallows. Gallows was the one who ducked.
It was Gallows.
He caught him and they threw him at Gallows and Gallows just tossed him aside. And he just became a weapon. It was great.
Yeah, and I got one word for you. I'm going to spell it out. F-E-S-T-U-S. Sorry, I had to.
So we had the Magic Killer to on Big Cass. Somewhere, by the way, someone needs to pick up AJ's face because Cass laid it out with a big boot on the outside. He left that flying pieces everywhere.
That was brutal, both what happened and your joke about it.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. I know. So Enzo was left alone with the club. And then he just...
It got real good.
He manned the hell up.
It was like the bulking up. You get Hogan hulking up and then Enzo standing there and is like, dude, don't do that because you look like you need to eat a hot dog. Mm-hmm. His belly completely disappeared, and I swear to God, his belly button touched his spine. But at least he looked like he had pecs.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So that was a lot of fun. We had the Super AA off the middle rope for the victory. Team Cena wins.
And for once, the crowd didn't do a hell of a lot at the end of the John Cena match.
That's because you had Big Cass and Enzo there.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I tried sneaking that in.
No. And also AJ Styles. To AJ Styles' credit, he's done a great job going from babyface to heel with the club.
In a heartbeat. And yeah, you know, AJ, here it is. Pure fans of professional wrestling know AJ Styles. We know AJ Styles. We're a little bit more hardcore than the average WWE fan. And I'm talking the casual one that, you know, doesn't know New Japan or, I like to refer to it as the original TNA, you know, back when it was good and just starting out. And AJ was the franchise. He was the Sting of TNA, if you will.
Yeah, he was. All right. I'm going to cut you off really quick.
Okay.
We have a caller on the show. Caller, welcome to WTI Sunday night.
It's me. It's Nick Diddy. I was back. It's been a while, boys.
It has been a while.
Maybe I've been spoiled by the fact that I've recently been to the Super J Cup and the G1 Climax. Over the last week, I went to 3 days worth of the G1 Climax and the Super J Cup on Wednesday last week, but did it just feel like this show was predictable? Like the booking was just really straightforward and that the guys just really, like everything was just by the book. There wasn't like everything. This just felt like an episode of Raw that they just made into a pay-per-view. It didn't really feel like, oh wow, this is actually a B pay-per-view of any sort of variety or there's some sort of significance to it. It just felt lackluster and predictable.
Well,
Well, you know, what you're doing, you know, I'm not shooting down here or anything like that, Nick, so don't get that idea. But what you're doing, basically, you're comparing an apple to an apricot. You're spoiled. You really, truly are. And I'm jealous as a son of a bitch, but that's a different whole story altogether. At the same time, I can't disagree with you completely. Yeah, sure. This was a by-the-book style pay-per-view. Raw on steroids, if you will. But Battleground is the last of the non-major pay-per-views before the brand split and the two pay-per-views per month hit us in September. And for what it was, in my opinion, I expected it, so I wasn't disappointed because it wasn't something that I had higher hopes for. It may have been straightforward, somewhat predictable on some levels. But at the same time, I still thought it was a pretty fun offering from WWE.
Right. So, yeah, I guess there's a major problem in the sense that the women's title didn't get defended at all. And isn't the rule that if in 30 days that you don't defend the title, then the title goes vacant?
Well, you know, for practically every other promotion that is going to hold true, but again, we're talking WWE, right? They like to bend the rules, and they bend the rules for different reasons, and part of the whole thing going down here with the women's title not having been defended tonight is the fact that the brand split is, you know, taking place, and it's official. Basically, it was unofficial last week, but it's official as of tomorrow. And this was just wrapping up everything left over, basically, that was put into play before the draft last Tuesday. So, yeah, in that situation, in the fact that it's WWE and they do have a tendency to fudge the lines when they think you're not paying attention, when they think you're not looking, it's, again, you know, it's a case of if you hope for the best and expect the worst, you're never disappointed. Right?
Yeah, I guess that's true, but at the same time, I was like, this is the world's biggest wrestling promotion, or sports entertainment, as they like to call it. They should be a step ahead of the rest, and it just seems like with whatever else is happening in the world of pro wrestling, WWE seems to be one step behind everybody else, but they still promote themselves as the biggest show.
Because they are the biggest sports entertainment show out there. That's the difference. You went to see live pro wrestling as it's meant to be seen, pro wrestling.
Mm.
This is not pro wrestling. This is sports entertainment. There's a difference. They're appealing to a mass audience. Pro wrestling is for the hardcore of the hardcore fan, like you, who goes to see it in Japan.
Well, I live here.
But you get my point, or an indie show, or whatever.
Yeah, I get the point. But at the same time, like, this show tonight, going back to the pay-per-view itself, like, I feel that the guys that have taken from the indie circuit, the guys like, and not so much indies, but like, let's call it the minor leagues, as it were, like guys like Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, AJ Styles, like, the club, like in this match that you were just talking about, it's the fact that like Carl Anderson is actually a really great wrestler and actually can put on some amazing matches. Like he was the breakout star of the 2014 G1 Climax. He's a former, I think it's three or four time IWGP Tag Team Champion. Like he can put on some amazing matches. Doc Gallows, or now known as Luke Gallows, going back to Luke Gallows, he can put on some amazing matches, and tonight when it was John Cena and Enzo and Cass versus the club, it just feels they look like jobbers. Like, how's that, like, why do they waste such talent?
Well, here's the thing, right here, okay? Again, the difference between a pro wrestling show like you're getting in Japan, which I told you I'm jealous about, I would love to be able to go to one of those shows with you live, right? And I know that you would have a great time coming to one of our live shows out here, because shit makes sense. And it's all about the wrestling and not the charisma and personality. And that's the rub. WWE being, like Rock said, sports entertainment and not professional wrestling, there, and we've bitched about it, we've complained about it, we've talked about it, it's the charisma and the personality. When you look at Gallows, does he have the charisma and personality here compared to John Cena or Enzo or AJ?
It's a different type of charisma. Like, the fact that they
physical, nonverbal charisma. Well, and
yeah.
WWE doesn't see that as a salient sales point. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see that. Like, right. They focus on, you need to have mic skills, you have to have the presence, the look, and everything inside and outside of the ring, versus then, like, the way that it's done everywhere else in Mexico, Canada, Japan, and elsewhere around the world is where, like, if you're physically impressive in the ring, that charisma in the ring and the way that you work in the ring is, that's where the charisma comes from elsewhere. But in WWE, it's about, you need the look and the sound that you have on the microphone.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. You're comparing apples to apricots. And, you know, I'm not, I'm reiterating, I'm not shooting on you, because we've had enough conversations over the year, you know, over time, you, me, and everybody else that we've had chats with. WWE presents a certain style of package, a certain type with a certain kind of wrapping over it, that is not the same type of a package that you get with New Japan or any of the indies that I could, you know, like Border City Wrestling here in Canada out of Windsor is absolutely awesome. And that's, what's his name, Carl DeMarco's thing. Robbie, a Highlander from the old WWF, or the old WWE rather, you know, Highlander. He's got a wrestling promotion in Toronto that is right up the same, you know, the same idea. And, Canada really embraces the strong style that basically you get out of Japan. And in Canada, it originated here with Stu Hart, strong style. And you, me, these guys listening, Rock, Nace, Omega, all of us, yeah. Dig that, because that for us, that's what pro wrestling was. That's what we grew up on, and that's what it should be. But again, it's the packaging. WWE has a different type of gloss to it.
Right. But I'm saying with tonight's pay-per-view, just to try and bring it back a little bit, is that, like, it's like, should they, even on B shows, they should be able to put over storylines and actually make things interesting, even in their own way. And tonight it just felt like it was just all by the book, and because it was obvious that Sasha Banks was going to bring out Bayley. What would have shocked me is, it's like Sasha brings out Nia Jax, and it's like, what on earth is going on here? Like, what's the deal here? Type of thing. Like, they could have thrown a few curveballs in there, and with like the Miz versus Darren Young match, like I was saying in the chat, is that maybe WWE doesn't have the confidence in Darren Young, but as Kane Kidman's put it out there, saying that maybe they just don't want to put all the titles on one brand and let the other brand flounder or something like that. But they could have thrown a few curveballs in. Like, they need to make that lower to middle card more interesting, so people aren't waiting for 2 hours so they get to the main event to see what's going on. They want to actually see more interesting storylines. And with the B pay-per-views, they're a good chance to actually develop storylines. And I think the only one tonight that actually had some development in their storyline was the Wyatt and the New Day feud. Had some sort of development, whilst everything else sort of just...
That's the one match on the show that there's no idea what's happening next, because they're on two separate brands. And that's the problem with this show, where it fell. You can't throw curveballs because you have two brands now. You're starting a whole new story direction starting tomorrow. So this show was just supposed to be 3 hours plus of entertainment fun, which it turned out to be. Going back to the match point, Anderson and Gallows weren't put in the position to have the five-star classics they have in New Japan, because that was not their role tonight.
No.
But down the road, because of the brand split, you know, all of this stuff is going to happen, and we're not going to be, We're not going to be saying, oh, well, this is a B pay-per-view and as opposed to that one, because the Raw pay-per-view and SmackDown pay-per-view 2 weeks later, they're both going to be the B pay-per-view, and the big four are going to be the combined brand pay-per-view, like they tried to do back in 2005. But I think this time they're going to be a little bit more successful. And then down the road, now, thanks to that brand split, we're going to see some of that magic that Anderson and Gallows showed in New Japan. We're going to get a chance to see some of that. But it's like I said earlier, and what Rock just basically reiterated, tonight was just like, you know what, we've got this thing that we had all set up before the brand split was official. It's not there to throw any curveballs to anybody or anything like that. It was just a feel-good pay-per-view, and let's get her done, and let's get the real shit going starting on the 25th.
But at the same time, they could have incorporated the six NXT people that have been called up into these matches and actually... Like, in order to carry these people over from NXT, they could have, like, for example, get Finn Balor to go in to at ringside for the club versus John Cena and Enzo and Cass. What? Have him come in and sort of stand in the corner with the club and sort of show some form of friendship and allegiance to the club. Like, and that could...
Yeah, but with that... You're making the assumption that is going to happen down the road with Balor, and it just might. It's just tonight was not the night for that. And I understand what you're saying, but basically it's just a case of, like, you're saying, I want all of this stuff to happen now, but they're not ready for it all to happen now. And so, they're getting this done, and then they're moving on, and then it's going to happen. Start, like I said, starting tomorrow.
Right, cool, right? Awesome.
So it's... You know, you make fair points, and I can't disagree with a lot of them. But at the same time, I wasn't expecting this to be a swervy pay-per-view with, holy shit, look what happened. Oh, my God, it's going down. No, I'm expecting to see that starting tomorrow night, carrying on into Tuesday, and going on after SummerSlam. That's the big deal, right? So,
right, I can accept that.
Right? So, yeah. Nick, I just... I want to thank you very much for calling in. You're always welcome to call into the show anytime you have any time available. It's always good to hear from you.
No worries.
All right, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for calling in. All right. Hey, everybody, Nick Diddy in the chat room with his take on absolutely everything. You heard that phone again.
Yeah, I did. It did. It
went through Skype. I don't think it was, because my phone is sitting over here, and, yeah, it's away from the microphone, so I think it went through Skype.
That's weird. Okay.
It's funny.
it's funny as all hell. Anyway, Team Cena won. Which then brings us to the highlight reel with Randy Orton and Chris Jericho. This...
Fun!
Huh?
Fun!
This was fun. Randy Orton's happy to be back. And Chris Jericho is not over the 69 thumbtacks.
Oh. I was waiting for the crowd to start chanting, 69, 69, and then the censors freaking out.
Jericho gave Orton the gift of Jericho. Orton had called Jericho, has Ellen hair. We got an Ellen chair, chant. Jericho says Orton is scared of Brock Lesnar. Orton says he's been gone for 9 months and wanted to make a statement by taking on the best in the locker room, and that's Brock Lesnar, and I think he took a shot at Fandango.
Oh, he took a shot at Jericho.
Did he?
Yeah, Jericho returns, has a match at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, with Fandango. Yeah, right.
And loses.
Mm-hmm, to Fandango.
To Fandango. No, say the name right. Fandango.
It's Fandango.
Like, dope. Don't you know? I mean, yeah, Fandango.
Jericho says Brock's going to kick his ass at SummerSlam. Orton knows all about going to Suplex City and what it takes, you know, all the 20 suplexes. But then, then, we have this.
Well, it only takes one RKO to get to Viperville. No enhancement needed.
Yeah.
No enhancement needed. That was the second major shot. And yeah, it was directed at, Lesnar and I. Thank you very much for playing that clip because I want to point something out.
Uh huh.
Indy, you've been suspended twice for banned substances, smartass.
They've been a sponge. No one knows about them.
Oh, they've been sponged.
They've been a sponge. I don't know. I'm just saying. We're not supposed to remember that. And then Jericho says, you're going to get in trouble for that one. And Orton's like, yep, I know.
Well, when he dropped that, and I was watching Jericho, and Jericho just like, he stopped, and I saw his eyes widen, and his mouth opened up. And it was like, damn.
Yeah, that was a great shot. Anyway, the thing ended with Jericho saying some messages that Brock supposedly said, but we all know they were coming from Jericho. You know, these are Brock's words, not mine. Orton teased the RKO, and then, wait, nope, there's the RKO. It's what you expected.
Well, you couldn't have not expected to see the RKO out of nowhere tonight with the return of Randy Orton.
I mean, it's on the back of his shirt.
It's Randy fucking Orton. Never mind his shirt. He's returned after 9 months. Never mind the shirt.
Something
with Jericho. Never mind the shirt.
I know. And by the way, you say 9 months. Beginning of the show, you know, Randy Orton's been gone for over a year. Chris Jericho says, so it's been 9 months since you've been here. Someone needs to get the time frame right.
Yeah, no kidding.
Alright, brings us to the main event. Locker room is watching on. Commissioners and general managers watching on. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and boo, Roman Reigns.
Can I make just one mention?
Yeah.
They had an excellent, excellent story for the main event with the Shield beating the shit out of each other for that title, which they predicted when they first came in, which I brought up at the beginning of this webcast. Okay. I think we talked about it when Josh called in. Did we need Steph and Mick and Daniel and Shane? Did we need them to come down? To me, for me, personally, it was a distraction for them from the main story. We don't need you guys here. You want to show up and have your presence there. Fine. Don't do it at the main event. You guys come out before the highlight reel, before Jericho and Orton. Come out and sit your asses down and sit out there for the highlight reel. Or, don't come out until after the goddamn match. And the only people who come out after the match are the people whose guy wins the title or retains the title.
You had camera shots of the locker room. You could have had camera shots of the offices of the general managers of Raw and SmackDown. It wouldn't have been so hard. If you want to show them on camera, flash to them once in a while. That's all.
Yeah, they could have been in the back, right?
Yeah. You didn't need them out of the ringside because now you have four authority figures sitting at ringside.
Yeah.
At least they did it on the side with the announcers, I guess, so the fans didn't have to look in the back of the heads of everybody, but some did, so. At least, Daniel Bryan and Shane were smart at one point. They moved to another side to, you know, get away from where, you know, diving wrestlers coming at them.
It was almost like they had a premonition.
Mm-hmm. Someone read the script. Anyway. Roman got booed. Fans are hot for Dean Ambrose.
Ooh. Yeah. Before the match started, after I got my feedback. When they're all standing in the ring and they're booing Roman, the look on Seth's face. Come on. Come on, Rock.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. And that look was all because Roman getting completely booed. There weren't any Roman fans there tonight in that crowd of 15,000. I did not hear any Roman chants.
Okay, you're wrong. You had Stephanie clap. Sorry, you know, yay, Roman.
Not counting Steph. You don't count Steph. Okay. She's like the authority.
It's like, yay, Roman.
Sure, I said fans.
I know, I'm just saying. Just pointing that one out.
Yep. Stephanie cheering Roman is kind of sort of ironic. Yeah, I get it.
You had Foley cheering as well.
Well,
But they were really excited for Seth Rollins. Both of them. So, this was a good match between the two. It did not blow me away like I figured it could have. Maybe the expectations for these three guys was too high, but I enjoyed the match. The ending was great. The fact they did the Shield powerbomb to Roman Reigns, yep, which was great.
Fan pop, crowd pop.
Okay, so it started with Roman stopped the double powerbomb in the ring. After Dean and Seth were taking shots at him. Dean does this dive to Roman to the outside, knocks him into the announce table. This is where the authority figures went, we should move now. Then, Seth Rollins is like, I'm gonna one up you, Dean. I'm gonna do a flip dive over the rope and kill Roman.
And every time Roman got hit, oh my god, the fan reaction.
It was great.
I loved it.
And then they
I'm not down on Roman like some people are. You know, I won't cheer him, but I won't boo him. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's, you know.
The reaction is funny.
Doing, but it's the reactions.
Yeah, it's great. So we have the Shield, then Shield bomb with Ambrose and Rollins putting Reigns through one of the announced foreign announce tables. I think it was Spanish. I don't remember.
Well, you had the German and the Spanish announce tables.
Yeah, so it was one of the foreign language tables went kapooey.
German one.
Maybe, I don't remember. Anyway, so it left to Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. And then Seth Rollins does great storytelling to the breakup of the Shield. Grabs a chair, after working with Dean, turns his back, smacks him in the back with the steel chair. Shades of the turn.
And they played it up too.
Mm-hmm. It was great storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great storytelling there. So, more match happens. We get a pedigree to Roman, 2 count. Pedigree, Roman fights it off. Turnbuckle powerbomb gets no-sold into the Superman punch. Spear on Seth Rollins, but Dean Ambrose runs right in. Dirty Deeds.
Boom.
1, 2, 3. Dean Ambrose wins and has now pinned both Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns in less than 6 days.
There you go. And Daniel Bryan was giddy.
Daniel Bryan was extremely giddy.
Yep. And Shane was happy, but Daniel was giddy.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, but it's just because it was so funny and it just hit me in the head. Looney Tunes, the cartoons where they had the two dogs, Butch and whatever his other name is, the little tiny yappy one that's always bouncing and jumping around and said, Butch and Spike, I think their names are.
Okay.
Hey Spike, we're gonna do this, Spike, huh? Slap. Nah. Spike's all like calm and cool. That to me was Shane, and then Daniel Bryan was the jumpy yippy dog.
Mm-hmm. We then had the SmackDown locker room come out, heels and faces, and a wandering arc growing. And they celebrate with Dean Ambrose as the WWE champion leading Tuesday night SmackDown Live.
Awesome stuff.
That was a good closer to the fun three and plus hours of show.
Yeah, and you know, it's like Nick said, it was predictable. Sure, okay.
So?
But, it was still fun.
It was a lot of fun.
This is not New Japan, which is, it's kind of too bad, but at the same time, WWE has a certain thing that they sell that the casual fan is used to getting. And that's what they delivered it, and yeah, it had its moments, but all in all, for WWE, I don't think it was bad at all.
There are some pay-per-views at times. There are struggle. There are some episodes of Raw. It's a struggle to get through. There was no real struggle to get through this show.
So.
I was entertained from top to bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had a good time. And I just, you know, I just sat there and stopped being hypercritical about things. And I just watched it as somebody who enjoys the stuff, right?
Yeah, and that's the approach people should take.
And yeah, I dug it for what it was. Again, it worked for me. For what it was, it worked for me just fine.
Now, we all should be embarrassed.
We should all be embarrassed.
Subway went 8-1.
I know. I saw that. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? He doesn't even watch this shit. And he went 8-1.
Went 8-1.
You're like, totally guessed.
Mm-hmm.
What a booger. What a booger.
Lindsay went 7-2. Jabber went 6-3. So did Starscream Josh. Heartbreak Mike went 6-2.
Tim, I don't want to talk about it.
Me and you went 5-4 along with WWE 2K16, which you can see all the videos at youtube.com/RecRadioShow.
Oh, yeah.
Sheila went 5-3. Chris Pierce went 4-5. The Random Thing Picker went 4-4. So did the 8-Ball.
You know, that's kind of ironic that Random Thing Picker and 8-Ball tied, and they're the only two at 4-4 at 500.
Kind of curious. Finish out the thing.
Shenanigans!
finish out the thing, because I want to go look at, see if they actually got the same things right or wrong. Thing Picker. Okay. Well, they were wrong. They had the opposite for the New Day and the Wyatts. They were right on with the Natty match. They were opposite on Sasha and Charlotte. Right on with Owens and this, match. Enzo and Cass versus the Club, they were opposite. They were opposite on...
Whoa. Enzo, Cena, and Cass. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they were opposite on that one.
You picked Club.
And they were opposite on the title match. Neither one went with Ambrose.
Yeah, you know.
So there you go. All right. Rob went 3-6. Omega went 3-5, and so did Michael.
Yeah, and we're going to have to razz Omega for going 3-5, because I would never believe he'd do that badly, ever, until it happens.
He has a lot of, he had a lot on his mind more with us. He's a, he had MetroCon and all that fun stuff.
At MetroCon trying to sell his stuff, or his, I'm sorry, his toy dolls. Don't tell him I said that. I don't want to, I'll never hear the end of it.
So, before we wrap up this evening, I need to go quickly with the fantasy update for the week. Omega had 11 points. I had 12. You had 21.
What?
Yeah.
I had 21 points for the week?
Uh-huh.
Holy shitballs!
Cause you, tonight you got a couple, you got a win. You got a win tonight. You got a table spot, got you 5 points.
Woohoo.
Harkerberg Mike has 28 for the week.
Harker. And Lince has 275.
53 points.
Fuck, might as well be 25.
Yeah, that's sort of what happened there. We're all fighting for a second.
One other thing before we do close out tonight, thanks to our buddy, Nick Diddy, in the chat room, releasing some breaking news. Ibushi just refused to sign with WWE. Ooh.
Okay, then. Well,
that, as the week progresses, and maybe talk a little bit about that next Sunday night.
Yeah, it's been rumored that he was thinking about signing with WWE, so apparently he's, refused so far, but, you know, that's today.
Maybe it's just like, he's holding out for some money, Sonny.
Money talks, and if they really want someone, money always talks.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. By the way, go to WrestleTalkRadio.com this week and vote in the all-time greatest, because we'll be determining the winner next week on the show.
Absolutely. Vote, and vote, and vote, and vote, and vote. Your vote counts, even though sometimes I don't like you. You vote.
But I think that does it for us tonight, Tim.
Yeah, so wrapping up, back to our regular time next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, another edition of WTR Sunday Night. We're going to have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. We'll be, I think we might even spend a little bit of roundtable time talking about titles and should they add more belts or what should they do, because we touched on that briefly, and wouldn't be a bad idea to expand on that one, Rock.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week on the show. Maybe we'll bring back the sounder and we'll do a fancy dancy roundtable.
You never know. That would be, with no intro.
With no intro.
Yeah, you never know. But in the meantime, follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. You can follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums. You can also find me on Facebook. Go ahead, add me. I'll accept your friend back, all this other stuff. Facebook.com/menchefs, and find Men Kitchen Wild Talk Radio on Facebook. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join one, like the other. Yeah, tomorrow night,
another edition of the Rob Poe Show.
That's right, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on the brand new brand that is Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and eventually we might talk about somebody doing a SmackDown post show. You never know, but don't hold your breath.
We're thinking about it. It might not be a weekly thing, and it may be a Facebook Live thing. Who knows? We're thinking about it. Thinking.
It's in discussions, put it that way. Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward, bringing up the rear as always. Rockin'.
Follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show. We'll talk Battleground, we'll talk NXT, and more. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. As the commercial mentioned, SummerSlam 21 days commercial. We'll have 21 days of matches highlighting the best SummerSlam matches that we can put together that I'll play through YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Stitcher, iTunes, search Rack Radio Show as well. There you go. Lindsay on Twitter, at LindsayWard, behance.net/LindsayWard.
Saturday night's midnight-ish. We're supposed to get to it. Another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Weird, the Unusual, the Banded 49 Counties, CB Radio.
Go back and listen to last night's episode 443, where it was the Lone Jobber Takeover show. We talked video games, a lot of the show, and so much more. It's CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight, CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter.com, #BlameRob when a celebrity dies.
There you go. I think we just about done.
I think we do. Oh, if you want to know what Omega's been doing, follow him on Twitter at TJ Omega. Check out all his stuff at TJOmega.org, YouTube.com/TJOmega. And if you would like to follow him on Facebook, it's not TJ Omega because someone else has the name and he can't get it back. It's TJ Reviews. He's going to have a lot of coverage from MetroCon where he's been since Wednesday on his YouTube channel in the upcoming weeks. So subscribe and follow all his stuff. Follow Mike on Twitter at DWTROreo as well. I think that covers all their plugs since they're not on the program.
Yeah, I don't think we should have bothered plugging their stuff because they're not here, and that just, you know, that's...
I'm considerate to others, and I like to plug their stuff, especially Omegas.
Especially Omegas. Yeah, you know, why doesn't he just change his Facebook name to TJ Omega Reviews?
So, for Tim Stein, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
You have no response to that. Okay, I'll bring that up with him, see what he says. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night.